How's it going, gentlemen? Coming right up is episode number 38 of the Chick Whisperer Show. With me today, it's long overdue, but I have my good friend Brad Howard of the Adonis Effect with me. We're going to talk about how to quit making things so complicated, which is a great topic. We're going to talk about a bunch of other things too, including getting to one of your voicemails. But before we get there, I want to let you in on something that I've got going on. Based on what you all have told me, I finally got a 2x4 upside the head, and I'm going to do a program for you on how to approach and meet women, get their phone numbers, and move to that first date. I know that it's been talked about, and for so long, I'm telling you, I thought that so many PUA guys were covering this that it was just overplayed, but you guys have been telling me time and again, you want this from the perspective of a regular guy who respects women, and you want it in a way that does away with all the tricks and all the tactics and all the manipulation. You just want it straight from the source. You want to know the right way to meet women if you're a normal guy who wants a great woman in his life. So that's what the man's approach is all about. I've just started recording the actual content for the man's approach, and you're going to be able to get your hands on this actual program soon enough. But in the meantime, if you have anything that's on your mind that you think I definitely need to be including in such a program, your burning questions, or the things that are your sticking points, absolutely, positively drop me an email at scott@thechickwhisperer.com. That's scott@thechickwhisperer.com, and I will incorporate every single idea you send me. And now, guys, enjoy episode number 38.
You're listening to the world-famous Chick Whisperer podcast. And now, here's your host, Scott McKay.
All right. Here it is. Episode number 38 of the world famous Chick Whisperer Show. With me, a lot like last time, I'm going to introduce to you Brad. Only this time it's not Brad Jackson. It's Brad Howard. Now, Brad Howard and I have been friends for some time. We've been really good friends for some time, actually. And Brad's got a lot of things going on. He really has genuine, bona fide game with women. I've seen him in action. That's always helpful when you're going to be a co-host on a show like the Chick Whisperer. So all the way from the Research Triangle Park area, Raleigh-Durham, North Carolina, home of Barney Fife and Andy Griffith and Brad Howard. Brad Howard, how's it going, man?
Oh, it's going well, man. Thanks for the lovely introduction there.
Yeah, actually, Barney and Andy lived somewhere out in the rural countryside near Raleigh-Durham, right? Because it was always like we have to go to Raleigh for some big thing. So Mayberry was like out in the sticks, basically, right?
Yeah, I think it was a town, I forget what the town's name is, but it's north of Winston-Salem is where it really was kind of, you know, built around. And it's really a small town. They actually have a statue of Andy Griffith there.
Outstanding. Well, since Barney Fife had no game and you do, I'm glad we're talking to you instead. But anyway, you're over there in North Carolina. Not a lot of guys in this scene from North Carolina, so it's always good to connect with guys like you who like live out in the middle of nowhere, not New York, not Los Angeles, and somehow make a name for themselves. And you indeed have, Brad. I mean, you've got the Adonis Effect, which has this incredible way of kind of fusing fitness and feeling your best and looking your best with attraction and actually getting women. You've also got this great blog called Angel Eyes Devil Smile, which is where I actually got to know you. We've traded lots of content over the past couple of years, and frankly, this show is way overdue.
Well, we've been talking about it for a while, but it's just a matter of, you know, kind of you travel, I travel, and you know, it gets to be a mess sometimes. But, you know, it's here, it's now, and so I'm sure we're going to put some good content out for the guys, and I guess let's just get it rolling.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's not like we haven't done teleseminars on how to get better at Twitter over the past couple of years. We've done several of those together because we're both Twitter-holics. But now let's get down to business. Let's talk about what we've got going on today. What we're going to be talking about, and this was a great topic that you brought up, Brad, was quit making everything so complicated. I love that topic, and I can't wait to dive into it. But first of all, as usual, here is a voicemail from one of our listeners. This time we've got Craig in Littleton, Colorado, and he's got this to say.
Hey, Scott. This is Craig, Littleton, Colorado. My question today, I'm kind of starting from scratch.
with getting my social life back on track. It's my belief that if you have a strong social life, your dating life will kind of just magically show up. I've been kind of shy and not there for some people, and I'm just looking at getting started again.
All right, Craig, you need a social circle, you need a social life, and we are here to deliver for you. Brad, what would you tell this gentleman out in Colorado?
Well, the first thing I would say right off the bat is that remember that you said that you thought you needed a social life, and that key word is being social. And what I see a lot of times, let me tell you a quick story behind that. My girlfriend was just out with a bachelorette party not too long ago. And she was saying that there was a group of guys that came up to talk to him, and everything was going well. The guy said it was his birthday. You know, this was a cool group of girls. They were just going back and forth. You know, the guy, you know, asked how old they were. They told him. I mean, he was a lot younger than they were. And then, you know, asked if they had boyfriends and stuff like that. And they said yes. And as soon as they said yes, this guy totally, I mean, nobody told him to go away. Nobody told him to do anything. Nobody told him to, you know, excuse himself. He excused himself. He basically tucked his tail between his legs, and he and his buddy went to go sit on the other side of the bar, just totally just excused himself for no reason. And, Craig, the reason I'm talking about this story right now is because that guy, that whole time, the rest of the night, he stayed in that exact spot in the bar because everybody else saw what he had just done. They knew that he was on the prowl. And so I basically asked her about all of this, and she was telling me kind of how it was. And the reason it kind of came up is because she said she thought about me after this kind of little interaction with this gentleman. And she thought about a lot of things I say on my blog and just my newsletters and things like that. And because I don't really try to complicate things. And she was saying it was exactly right. You know, they were being cool. Everybody was being cool. And I straight up asked her, I said, so if this gentleman would have said to you, hey, you know, you guys seem really cool. It's my birthday, honestly. And, you know, is there any way you guys can kind of help me find a lucky lady to kind of spend some time with tonight or something like that? I asked if they would have been down for that. She said, oh, sure, of course. That'd have been fun, especially for our bachelorette party. And so a lot of guys have a very kind of distinct goal for every single interaction that they're going to go through in life. I mean, so if they see a hot girl that's at a bar or something, they're going to walk up with this specific goal of getting this person's phone number or whatever. And the fact of the matter is that it might not turn out that way. She may have a boyfriend. She may not be interested. She may be gay. You never know. But that doesn't mean the interaction ends. It doesn't mean that that's all that you can take with that, because quite frankly, being social is about developing assets. And we're not talking about like in the spy game type of world or anything like that when you're developing assets to use. But in essence, just because you're not going to necessarily be able to score with somebody that particular night doesn't mean that that person won't be able to help you out later and vice versa. So that's probably one of my biggest tips or pieces of advice is that don't forget in having a social life, the big word is social.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree with you more. If you have an agenda, when you meet anyone, they're not going to want to be friends with you. In other words, think of it this way. I think all of us know someone who's in multi-level marketing, mm-hmm. right? But I bet very few of us have friends who are in multi-level marketing because every time we try to talk to this person about anything, the agenda is they're trying to get us into their downline. They're trying to get us to sell their stuff for them. And it stands in the way of having a real friendly relationship, one without barriers, one without this feeling that this person's always got a plan for you that doesn't involve simply being friends. They want you to basically help them make money. There's an agenda, a hidden agenda there. And mm-hmm. I think a lot of guys, basically, when they start meeting attractive women or women they perceive as attractive, and the women can tell they're being perceived as attractive – they come off like Amway guys. They really do. I mean, you know, a guy walks into a club, and of course, Emily's had this happen to her when she's with groups of friends or even by herself, and this guy comes up and is starting to be really nice, like, you know, Mr. Nice Guy, like we talk about all the time around here. And it's mm-hmm. not like he's basically holding doors for old ladies or volunteering at the soup kitchen. He's trying to game these chicks. He's trying to get them to think he's this really nice guy, but really you can see under this thin veil that he really wants something. And what he wants is he wants sex. He wants to basically get with those women because he finds them attractive. As soon as you as a man or I as a man, anybody listening, as soon as we as guys can drop being focused on sex, and how many times have we talked about this on the show, and you start just appreciating human beings, even if they happen to be attractive women, you're going to get so much further because, again, women are not this foreign alien species. I mean, they can be foreign and they kind of have nice accents when they're foreign, but they're not alien species. Okay. They bleed red like you. They're human beings. They're going to respond to the same stuff you respond to. And when you come with an agenda, they're not going to respond well, just like you won't respond well when you go into a car dealership and get hit with some heavy sales pitch. So yeah, if you want to be social, you've got to be about making friends, not about getting something. You can be lonely. You can feel like you haven't been out and hanging around in a long time. But when it comes down to making friends, you've got to be a friend first. I know that sounds cliche.
Mm-hmm. Being attractive is one thing, but I think that we probably need to take it to a different level, because being attractive for most guys, it's not kind of like an A plus B plus C. This goes down this like normal path. It's kind of hard for people to really picture. But if we switch that focus to admired behavior, or how am I behaving? Would someone admire the way I'm behaving right now? That's totally a different, kind of a different perspective, but a lot of guys actually understand that. And this kind of comes from, you know, a lot of our stuff in the fitness background, where when guys tend to get in better shape, you know, other people admire what they're doing and admire the work that it took and things like that. This getting in better shape, it actually kind of stands for something, and people realize that. And so it's actually admired. But it's really weird, because what guys do, instead of engaging and trying to go for that admired behavior, they'll start trying to learn tips and tricks. So they'll go out to the bar, and kind of like what you were talking about, they'll go out and they'll try to figure out a way to maneuver their way in a conversation or whatever. Sometimes, and almost all the time, you've seen me interact with people. Most of the time, it's just a simple hello, my name is, and that's all it takes. But instead, you know, people are thinking they need the best pickup line, they need the best delivery, they need the best this. And the problem is you have a lot of opportunity that you lose out on when you engage in that type of behavior. It's like, it's kind of like a company. I guess a lot of people have had this happen before. It's kind of like a company. Let's say you have a sales guy and he really over talks about his product and he really lies about what his company's all about. And so this company, they may be really good at getting new customers, just because, you know, some of their claims and stuff are just way out there and people just can't resist it. But then when people get inside of what is really going on, you know, it's just a one-shot customer. There's no customer value that's long-term or anything like that. So it's kind of the same thing. You can learn and try to figure out all of these things to try to maneuver your way into people's lives and things like that, and try to be kind of covert. But that really doesn't address kind of the big 90% of, you know, what most guys really want. Most guys really don't want to, you know, be able to pick up any woman at any time. You know, they really just want to be able to pick up and pick out, more or less, the one woman who is going to be there with them for a while. I mean, from what I can tell from most people's perspectives, that's what they really want. You know, and if you're trying to get good at picking up every single woman, well, the funny thing is you kind of lose that kind of filter that normally weeds certain people out of your life, because you kind of just blow past that. If you can overcome every single person's objections, you know, you kind of get to a point where you'll start picking up bad people in your life, you know, by default. It's just interesting. Like back when I was in sales a long time ago, I called it kind of the in or out behavior. It's kind of like this. It's like, are you in or are you out? I'm not going to try to convince you that you should hang out with me or you should buy from me. It's, are you in or out? Because I've got 10 people waiting in line right now. I'm not going to waste my time trying to convince you that this is what you need, because you're obviously here for a reason. This is something you want. It sounds like it could work, but, you know, it might not. Same thing with finding bad people for your life. Instead of being needy and saying, I need this person to buy, or I need this person to sleep with me, or I need this person to hang out with me. You know, if you kind of have that in or out behavior, you kind of lose a lot of that when you get really adept at maneuvering, I guess you could say. And that's when people make it too complicated. They take it to the extreme. And just like in fitness, weight loss, muscle building, things like that, unless you want an extreme result, you don't have to engage in extreme behavior.
Yeah. I mean, what you're talking about gets to the core of this whole thing. If you're needy, if you come off as being desperate, people are going to go, well, you know, why is this guy so desperate? Doesn't this guy have any other friends? And of course, if he doesn't have any friends, maybe I shouldn't be his friend either, because maybe there's something weird there. And certainly, if you're looking to start a social circle and you don't have any friends yet, and one thing that Craig didn't share is if he had just moved to Colorado, or, you know, he said a little bit about, you know, there's some people there who I may have let down in the past and I just really need to start over. Whatever the reason is, when you're starting from nothing, it's hard to really show that, hey, look, I got all these other friends. Why don't you join our big crowd? You kind of have to start from scratch. And I understand how difficult that is, especially
if you've moved from somewhere else or for whatever reason, really. Mm-hmm. And what ends up happening is if you really want people to be friends with you and you don't have any friends, what do you end up doing? You end up overcompensating, and you don't only look like you're needy, but you end up being an approval seeker. And it's hard not to be, because what you're doing is you're trying to get people to be friends with you. Essentially, you're walking up saying, will you be my friend? And it's like, well, why should I approve of you? And we all know, whether it's a woman, whether it's you're building a social circle full of guys or whatever, if you just basically show up empty handed and are trying to impress everybody with how great you are or whatever, people are going to go, you know what? That's not going to work on me. I don't think we want you there. And that goes double if you're walking up to a group or you're trying to get involved in some sort of social circle solo. I mean, we all know that if guys go out as a group and they all are on, say, sport bikes, motorcycles, Harleys, whatever, and they meet another group of guys who are on similar motorcycles, everybody's going to be okay with each other. It's going to be like, hey, all right. Well, I mean, you know, notwithstanding there's some kind of motorcycle gang or something, I'm assuming, you know, guys who are into this just as a hobby. If my friends and I, when we were on our bikes, would pull up to a place and some other guys had bikes, we'd stop and we'd admire each other's motorcycles and make friends. And if someone pulled up on a bike who was new to town when we were there, we'd let them ride with us and, you know, they'd be part of the group. And I think that has something to do with it also. It isn't so much, hey, here's how I'm going to impress you. Hey, here's what I need from you. Will you approve of me? It's find a common interest, find something that's interesting and start building your social circle, because that's how we as guys do that. Whether it's about motorcycles, whether it's about, I don't know, even video games or cooking, or, you know, I got a little group I'm starting here of guys who really appreciate really good beer, like, you know, Trappist ales from Belgium and stuff like that. And, you know, once we as guys get involved with that stuff, you know, we have a reason to hang out as a group. And then from there, we start meeting women, et cetera, et cetera. And that way you get the approval based on the common interest, and then you move on from there. And I think that's a great way to start a social group, is to start yourself through meetup.com. I know that's trite to talk about, but, you know, you've got the internet in front of you, Craig. You can start meeting people, and that's a great way to start. And always think more in terms of common interest when you're building social circle than how can I get these people to be impressed with me? How can I get what I want from them? Don't even think in terms of yourself. Think in terms of what you can add to this group in terms of your interests. And again, you're not going to go preach to them. You're not going to go try to impress them with your knowledge. You're not going to give unsolicited advice. You're just going to show up with a common interest and blend in for a while. And then as people build more of an interest in who you are because you were cool to them, then you're going to go ahead and build that social circle. Craig, I'm going to recommend to you, as a matter of fact, I'm going to give to you a copy of my program called The Engineer's Guide to Being Cooler Than the Sales Guy. In it, I talk about everything it takes to be perceived as a cool guy in your social circle. And this isn't because I'm the king of it, believe me. It's because I'm a fellow traveler. And I studied a bunch of guys who just come off as cool, and I try to come up with what made them all cool. What was the common element between all these guys? And invariably, I'll go ahead and give away the farm here, Brad. Invariably, what makes the coolest guy cool isn't that he forces people to think he's cool or else he's going to beat them up. You know, it isn't that kind of social pressure. He's not a bully. He's not anything like that. He's a guy who makes everybody else around him feel cool when he's around. Just like Michael Jordan was on the court, a basketball player who can make everybody else on the team look good when he's on the court. That's the kind of friend you want to be. That's the kind of human being you want to be in a social environment. You want to make everybody else feel cooler. You want to be the one who's giving out approval, not demanding it. You're going to be the one who's appreciating people rather than demanding to be appreciated. And in turn, after you give first, people will say, man, that is one really cool guy. That's a guy who I respect because they feel respected, because they feel cool. But it's over an hour and 20 minutes worth. As a matter of fact, I rolled it into the master plan. So if you've got the master plan, go ahead and listen to it if you've already got it. It's also sold separately at www.beingcooler.com. It's real inexpensive at $27. But Craig, I'm giving it to you because I want you to hear it. And I think that'll be a great foundation to set up your social life. Brad, you got anything to add to this before we move on?
Oh, man, yeah, a couple of things. I mean, you definitely nailed it right on the head as far as, you know, making people, you know, feel cool and feel good. And one of the ways that you can do that, let me give you a kind of a perspective really off the bat, because I know that you probably cover this in your program, but having a sense of genuine curiosity about a person and coming from a place of strength with that, not trying to ask questions and talk to people like you're trying to get something, but just being genuinely curious about people is always a good thing. I talk to a lot of guys. We're not even talking about like on the blog. We're talking about just in real life. And yeah, people just ask me different stuff because I can't remember the last time I was told to beat it, scram, you suck, you know, any of that stuff in a bar. And I travel a lot, just like you do, Scott. And, you know, I usually hang out with my buddy Brian. I kind of got a lot of this stuff from him because he's not really what you consider a looker. He's probably 240, maybe 5'8", but you know, he never gets shut down. And this is from way back in the day we were in college. And what I learned is that he goes into every single conversation with a genuine curiosity of who that person is, first and foremost. And it's been that way. He has been able to open any group, anywhere, anytime, such that all of my friends back in the day would ask me if he was going to come around with us because they knew that he could open up any group of women and that they could come in and leech off of what he had just done, because that's always the hardest part, is breaking the ice for most people. But realistically, it's not. You know, it's just a matter of introducing yourself and just kind of being curious, asking some basic questions, kind of get a feel for people. You know, you notice things, and it goes from there. Everything's not a home run, and you don't even have to view things as striking out. Lots of times, you're just going to meet people that plain suck.
Right.
You know, I mean, really, I mean, I hate trying to sound, make this sound like manipulative behavior when I say this, but most of the time, it's really not your fault if you're coming from this point of view and this perspective of just kind of curiosity. If you meet somebody who's just, you know, kind of piss poor, for lack of a better term, mm-hmm. Well, what did that just do? It just saves you a buttload of time. So who cares? And I'll tell you, I mean, going in that way, you can't lose, because you end up talking to a lot of people in whatever place that you're at. Everybody has seen you talk to all these people. People have seen other people smiling at you, and everyone's disarmed. And at that moment, someone that you will talk to, you will naturally bond with. And if you can talk to people based on where they want to be in life and not where they are, so if you treat people that way, based on where they want to be, not where they are, you're going to go a lot farther, because it kind of gives people hope. And when people feel like someone believes in them, it's kind of a bonding, I don't want to say tactic, but that's just kind of how it is. Upscale hotels do a really good job of that. Like I stayed at the Trump in Las Vegas not too long ago. And these guys, they don't need my money, but they treated me very well. And they treated me like I was a billionaire. And of course, who wouldn't want to be a billionaire, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of a thing. You go in with curiosity, and then as you're talking to people and you find out what their interests are, no matter what, if they're an expert or if they're, I don't know, let's say stamp collecting. That was the first thing that came to mind. Let's say they're not an expert stamp collector. Let's say they just started. Well, if you start treating them and asking them questions like they are an expert, that they get to answer and they get to be kind of the hero of the story, that inspires hope. People like that. It makes them feel good. So that's a huge tip for conversations.
Well, I think it's a good one. And interestingly, as you were talking about that, and of course, what you said kind of played off what I said, I'm thinking about how much of a contrast that is when you bring that context of actually meeting women you're attracted to into the picture, how much of a contrast that is with like negging women or feeling like you have mm-hmm. to knock them off a pedestal. You're not putting someone on a pedestal by treating them that way. You're just treating them with some respect, and you're kind of giving the nod to the fact that, hey, not everybody's got it all together inside their head. Everybody's quote unquote inner game stuff, if you want to call it that, isn't really always as together as it may look on the outside, especially in the culture we live, you know. Mm-hmm. And if you walk up even to a group of beautiful women and you add value to them rather than trying to take it away, just like you said, it can only really do well for you as long as it's from a position of confident masculinity rather than that neediness, like I'm trying to get something from you or I'm trying to get your approval. Golden stuff, absolutely. I think it's time we moved on to the topic of this podcast, because I'm intrigued and I can't wait to get to it. But before we do that, I want to thank Craig from Littleton for sending us that great voicemail. Guys, if you want to send in a voicemail exactly like that, call this number. And it's 1 if you're outside the United States, 210-362-4400. Once again, that's 210-362-4400. Write it down when you call that number. You're going to get all kinds of instructions from me. They'll be very straightforward. What we're going to want from you is your question. Make it brief and to the point, and make it something that everybody listening to this show could theoretically benefit from, just like what you heard from Craig. I think that's a question all of us guys tend to ask at one point or another in our lives. Give us your name, where you're from, and at the end of your question, give us an email address for you so we can send you a cool prize. And just like I promised you this time, Craig, we're going to send you the engineer's guide to being cooler than the sales guy. That'll hit your inbox. Look for it. And once again, thanks for that great email. So Brad, man, yeah, let's dive in. Let's talk about why guys make things so complicated and how we can stop. Tell me what's on your mind with this. Give me some examples where guys just take things and make them so complicated when it comes to meeting and attracting women, and maybe even going forward with relationships, whatever's on your mind.
Sure. Well, the first thing is, when it comes to this, is that a lot of the advice that's being given out there, kind of like what we talked about before, kind of comes from extreme examples. So maybe you have people that are pickup artists, or, you know, people that are out and about all the time trying to meet women. And that's kind of their thing, is that I'm out every night trying to meet women. And to me, that's an extreme behavior. But in reality, for what most people want, and whether it's, you know, finding the woman they want, finding a couple of cool women to hang out with, getting in better shape, you know, things like that, or even just getting in your financial situation in check, there's this sweet spot. And when I say sweet spot, what we're really talking about is, what's the primary driver, or really the core thing that's driving or going to drive the result that you want? And for most guys, like we were saying, when we were talking about tips, tactics, and things like that, basically what you're looking at is, from my perspective, kind of an extreme example from kind of an extreme personality. And a lot of times when you start going in that direction, you lose focus on the actual goal you wanted in the first place, which for most guys is probably meeting and attracting a great woman, or maybe just being able to have fun with several great women. I've never met any guy that says, I want to find the most god-awful woman possible. However, a lot of the things that they try to do and the things that they practice, that's the direction you're going in. So as you go down that kind of, I don't want to call it a dark path, but as you study a lot of that type of material, that's the only goal that ends up coming out of it, because a lot of that stuff only works on people that have, for lack of a better term, people that have no self-confidence. I mean, most of the time, most women that have any type of self-respect, and these are the women you want, the ones that have self-respect, the ones that, you know, yes, they do want to be around you, but they can take care of themselves. They do want you to be the rock, but it's kind of not a necessity for them in life. You know, those type of women, they're not going to respond to that. You might fool them at the very beginning, but you won't last long. And so that's why you see a lot of the people that give advice on how to actually get women, they're not very good at keeping women.
Well, yeah, I think a lot of this is rooted in a sort of irony, and I want you to comment on this.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, we as guys are going to respond to marketing of sex. I mean, sex sells. I mean, when we see web pages with lots of sexy women on them, we're going to want what's on that web page. And you and I are both in the marketing world. We both know what works from a marketing perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And there's certain hot buttons that all of us as guys, or anybody really, will respond to. One of those is, we're going to make it easy on you. The easy button, right? Mm-hmm. Second of all is, none of this is your fault. Those bad old women, or those bad guys kicking sand in your face, are the ones keeping you from success, right? Making mm-hmm. women the enemy, making some other guy the enemy, etc. And then you also have, I'm going to go ahead and make this so it takes you 10 minutes instead of 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's going to be instant, immediate gratification. Mm-hmm. So in the name of making it easy, in the name of taking all the blame off of us, and in the name of making this happen for us as soon as possible, we as guys, what do? We start learning a bunch of new tricks, new tactics, new things we have to memorize, and then we have to go out and figure out how to do all this stuff. And what was supposed to be easy, what was supposed to happen quickly, what was supposed to get us back into communion with women rather than separating us from them, ends up having the opposite effect. It ends up being really complicated because it isn't what we feel natural doing. And I'm not going to sit here and talk about natural game, but I am going to talk about the whole idea of this is not a performance. This isn't stuff you learn. Getting better with women isn't about doing things. It's about being a man. It's about being masculine, being confident, those big four things I talk about. And the more comfortable you become with who you really are as a man, the irony is, it's going to be a lot less complicated. So what do? When you start a conversation with a woman, you start a conversation with a human being, and the more feminine she is, the more likely she is to respond positively to your masculinity. Now, I'll give you an example. I am happily married, right? I have no agenda for picking up any women at all, okay? I have no need to get a date, nothing like that. So I guess I'm pretty confident even if I talk to a pretty woman. Well, last night I went to a meeting up in Austin for guys and gals, actually, who are interested in social media, internet stuff. And I was talking to a rather cute little gal from the Philippines, and we were just having a normal conversation. But I, at this point, I carry myself by habit in a way where I'm unashamed of who I am as a man and of what I do. And she asked me what I do for a living, and I said, what I do is we teach guys how to meet women and how to seduce them. And she looks at me, and she pauses, she cocks her head, and she goes, well, it's working. Out of the blue. I mean, I wasn't trying to meet this woman for that purpose of her being attracted to me, but because she was this woman who's grown up with a very, very clear understanding of what femininity means and was very comfortable with it herself, she felt that polarization between her and I, her being feminine and me being masculine, and she liked that feeling. There was no agenda there. I didn't want anything from her. And at that point, I said, well, I better tell you I'm married. And she goes, oh, no, no, that's okay. Blah, blah, blah. Continue. So ironically, she didn't chase me off because I was married. I didn't chase her off because she was married. It's something that I've become accustomed to as much as women tend to be. Women are very comfortable with sexual polarity. And we as guys are the ones who get all hamstrung over it and think maybe we have to do something different or we have to camouflage our sexual interest. It's like I've always said, it's not a competition. It's a conversation. But for guys, it's all win-lose. Someone's got to win. Somebody's got to lose. And yes, Brad, we make it all so complicated because we're trying to connect tab A to slot B all the time, and we can't get out of our own head. And yes, it gets complicated. It's just meeting her. I'll give you another example. I walked into our grocery store, and on Sunday afternoons, our grocery store is one of those terrific, amazing grocery stores that's just a bonanza of free food. So I go around the corner, and here's this really pretty gal. She's probably about 24. She's one of those women who's shaped like a woman. You know, she's all feminine and, you know, not really fat, not really skinny, really pretty bright brown eyes, long eyelashes, and pretty long hair. And she's just kind of like doing a happy dance waiting for somebody to show up, right? And I just looked at her, and she made me smile because that was a very feminine thing for her to be doing. So I kind of just looked at her and gave her this smile like, cool, we as guys approve of that sort of thing. And she started talking to me. And I was like, well, I guess I'm going to have to let you give me a sample of whatever you're giving me a sample of. And she goes, yeah. And of course, you know, we live in San Antonio, and so we started talking about the Spurs, and she was talking about the game last night, and she starts saying, but I had to watch it all by myself. I didn't have anybody to watch the game with. And of course, that's an open invitation to say, what, your boyfriend didn't come over and watch the game with you? How can you possibly be watching a game by yourself? And of course, that's not a needy thing to say. That's a way to find out information about whether she has a boyfriend or not. And she basically gave that hint and let me walk right into it. And of course, I didn't fall for it. But because I didn't fall for it, because I didn't go down that road and I started talking about something else, she started dropping another hint. Like, maybe you and I could hang out sometime kind of thing. And I kid you not, I've got 20 years on this gal. But it was just the most natural conversation in the world. Why? Because I didn't have some sort of complicated agenda, and I didn't get all wadded up. I was just in a conversation with someone. And I've noticed that the prettier the women are, the more they're amazed when a guy can just come up and have a conversation from a position of being masculine with them. So the complicated part here should be, how do I go reclaim my masculinity? It shouldn't be, oh my gosh, what do I say? Once I get the complication of that taken care of, how do I move on to carrying this conversation? How do I ask for her phone number? Women love to talk. Women love to start conversations. And women, here's a newsflash, gentlemen, they love guys. It's we who are complicating it.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. I mean, just like you were saying in that example, I mean, the fact of the matter is the hottest of the hot hardly ever get talked to by regular guys because they're all so intimidated. So their looks are inherently the test that you have to pass if there's a test. Just walking up and saying hello most of the time is the test. It's not, you know, coming out with a crazy line. It's walking up there with a sense of surety and talking to someone like not only they're a regular person, but like we were talking about, just kind of being curious about what that person's about and things like that. I mean, not jumping into like sex talk. Yes, flirt. Flirt like crazy. I mean, don't necessarily come out and start talking about what you're going to do to her in the sack, but yes, flirt, have fun, things like that. You know, that makes her feel good. You know, she'll like that. But like I say, when you're coming from, and like you were talking about, coming from that place of strength and masculinity and being okay with the fact that you're going to go up, talk to her and say hello and that it's not weird because that's what you're supposed to do.
Absolutely.
That's what you're supposed to do.
That's your job. You're supposed to start conversations and you're masculine. You're supposed to attract women. I mean, in the master plan, go retrieve your birthright. You were born to attract women. And people are like, well, yeah, I was born to, you know, be your lover, baby. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you literally were born male because you're supposed to be attracting women and leading those relationships so you can procreate and have more little boys and little girls so they can be attracted to each other. This is not rocket science. I think another place, Brad, where we really just try to make things so complicated is we say, oh, women, you can't understand them. Well, all right, maybe you can't understand what it's like to be feminine, but you recognize femininity when you see it, and by God, you better know how to recognize masculinity because that's who you are naturally as a man. From there, just treat them like humans. Treat women, no matter how beautiful they are, as if, you know, if you insult them, they're going to be upset. If you say something nice to them, they'll be friendly back. If you say something funny, they'll laugh. If you give them bad news, they won't be happy about it. Treat a beautiful woman like you would anybody else. Like I tell these guys all the time, guess what? They go, what? I bet you can walk into a McDonald's and order fast food and not trip up and not get completely wadded up over making sure you say things right or worrying if the person behind the counter is going to insult you because you ordered a hamburger. I bet you can do that. And they're like, oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, I bet you can talk to just about anybody and your personality will work just fine and you will make friends and you'll be socially acceptable until it's time to talk to a beautiful woman. A matter of fact, I'll tell these guys, I bet you can attract women you're not necessarily attracted to, like gangbusters. Well, yeah. Well, then here's the deal. You need to stop making things so complicated for yourself. Stop worrying about failure and trust that your personality works with other people and trust that your masculinity works on feminine women. If any women are attracted to you, chances are the pretty ones will be too. Why? Because it's masculinity that gets them rolling. Period. Now, you got to worry about things like, you know, is this beautiful woman going to be embarrassed to be seen with me in public even if she's attracted because the way I keep myself or whatever. But make no mistake, the simplest of terms apply here. Masculinity attracts femininity, and if you can make friends, you can make friends with anybody, and beautiful women are just human beings who happen to, well, make you sexually attracted to them. But there shouldn't be any additional complication to that. But we make it so hard, don't we?
Yeah, exactly. If I could really kind of nail something down really quickly on kind of a different perspective, and I really learned this, you know, back when I literally, Scott, I could say I've probably over my lifetime, like face-to-face sales, have talked to anywhere between 8,000 and 10,000 people. So you kind of start to understand what works, what doesn't, you know, as far as how your core personality may or may not change and things like that, matching, that type of stuff. But the big key out of all of this is in every type of interaction, when you don't know someone, there's always, always, always a discovery process where, like, if I was going to sell you something, my job is to discover everything I can about you so that I can best find out how I can help you solve whatever problem you have. It's the same thing. Basically, you're kind of discovering, you know, about this person. You're also trying to discover if they're going to work for you, if it's going to be a match. But one of the things that you're doing is that when you kind of come from that discovery and that curiosity and, you know, you're kind of weaving in some flirting and having some fun, is that you also start to allow her to be herself. and not kind of create this big front, because you're not being judgmental of her. You're just being curious and having a good time, not being judgmental. She's kind of letting her guard down, and she's able to be herself. Because the fact of the matter is, unless a woman is comfortable with you, just like when you want to buy something, unless you're comfortable making the purchase most of the time, or unless you're in a hyper state, which, you know, being turned on is a hyper state as well, if she's not comfortable with you, you're not going to get any loving unless she's drunk, which that's kind of a false comfort in itself. So,
yeah, well, what you're talking about there is one of the cornerstones of the Big Four. You got to inspire confidence in a woman, make her feel safe and comfortable in your presence. Guys, if you creep a woman out, if she doesn't feel like she's safe with you, if she feels like there's danger to her, physical, emotional, or otherwise, when she's in your presence, you are getting nowhere with her, even if she is attracted to you. So, yes, you create attraction with confidence and with masculinity, and that's good. But unless you create that safety and security with her, you're not getting anywhere with her. And again, I think – ironically, just like you said, Brad, what creates the safety and security is us not having this big complicated schedule or agenda with her. And yes, you see, when you help her feel that way, you've allowed her to simplify things. You've allowed her to unwire the complications in your head. What does this guy want? And then she just has a conversation with you. And the less complicated both of you are, the easier it's going to be to relate. I know this is really hard for some guys to grasp, but just go try it. Just let it all go. Start thinking to yourself the next time you see a beautiful woman pumping gas, you know, at the next pump over while you're pumping gas in your truck or whatever, just say something interesting. Just say something that isn't tied to you needing to get her phone number or you maybe undressing her mentally and wanting to get in her pants someday. Just start the conversation and see if the conversation doesn't indeed get started because you had no outcome dependency.
Yeah.
What else do guys make difficult? Give us two more.
Well, I'll tell you what, really quick, let me give somebody a really easy example of what to use based at the gas pump. One thing that you can do is just ask her, say, hey, I like your car. What made you decide to pick that car out? Easy. And she's going to tell you. If you're sitting there, you know, kind of going through discovery and just being curious, she's going to tell you. And if you, you know, kind of weave in the conversation, it's great. You know, it's easy. Nothing's going to happen. She's not going to tell you to, you know, beat it. So
No, she won't do that. And here's a funny part, too. If you actually go to these women without any expectation of getting their phone number and you actually make this a habit of just starting the conversation, what's going to happen is you may actually find yourself not even asking for a phone number or forgetting to. And she'll look at you with these eyes like, that's it? Don't you ever want to talk to me again? Or do you want to get together on Facebook? It's just written all over her face like, that's it?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Use that as a means to start the conversation, but you're going to find that when you take away all that complexity and you start the conversation and get it rolling, the irony of this whole principle is you're going to find yourself naturally talking to her about how to continue the conversation. It's just going to fall out of your mouth. Why? Because you've gotten over all the complexity that was wadding you up to begin with, that was making you have approach anxiety, that was making you not want to talk to beautiful women, that was making it seem more like this deathmatch challenge or this work that you had to do instead of something fun and enjoyable.
Sure. Yeah, these conversations are two-way street. I guess if we had two things to talk about, let me talk about this. If conversation is not your strong suit, and I'm talking even, you know, talking to your parents or talking to people you know, you just need to have more conversations. I mean, you can't read about how to create conversations and then not do anything about it. The easiest thing to do is just talk to people as much as you can. If you can just come at it from a curious standpoint, ask questions. The answer is the question, and the question is the answer. So,
wait, that sounds complicated. You better explain that one.
Okay. So people ask, well, what's the answer to conversations? Well, it's easy. Just ask questions. Ask questions about things that you're curious about. Ask people why they decided to pursue being a lawyer, if that's what they do. Why they decided to come to this specific bar tonight. Why did they decide to come to this specific restaurant? Is there something they heard? Just asking questions. Questions are the answer. And the answer to the big question is ask questions. And so that's the key to conversation. That's the whole key. If something ever dries up in a conversation, just ask a question. And, you know, lots of times you're going to meet people that can't carry a conversation either. And that's okay. Because remember how we were talking about allowing people to be themselves? and, you know, allowing people to stumble over themselves, well, that's okay. If you can absolve people of fault, then they'll like you more. So let's say somebody's talking to you and you can tell they really like talking to you and they start fumbling over their words. You just kind of come in from the side and say, and if they're like, oh, I'm so sorry or something, you're just like, oh, you know what? No problem, man. I do that all the time. Let me tell you a story about how I, you know, and just kind of disarm the situation and move on. It's really easy to do when you kind of come at it from that perspective. You know, it's not hard. You just have more conversations with people, and those conversations will naturally go somewhere. It's not difficult.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I couldn't have said it any better. That's the first one. Give us another one before we close out.
Okay. Here's the one that I think a lot of guys really don't really have a handle on, is that they'll have all of these things in their mind that they're bad at. They'll say, well, she's not going to like me because I don't have a good body. She's not going to like me because I don't have this, or I'm not stylish, or this or that. Well, guess what, dude? You can change all of that. That's the thing that I don't think people understand, is that if you think that you need to be in better shape, well, you can work on all these psychological tactics to try to get over the fact that you think you need to get in better shape, or you can just take the simple route and get in better shape.
Seems simple, doesn't it?
It is simple.
But, you know, I think so many of us have read, you don't have to be good looking, you don't have to be in shape, you don't have to be anything, and these women will love you anyway. But I've always talked about deserving what you want, always being the best version of your authentic self. And then as you feel better about being your best, you're going to naturally realize that, hey, you know, I should be able to get these women who are doing the best with what they've got also. So, I mean, if you have a few pounds to lose, like I do right now, because Emily and I've gotten married and, you know, gotten a little complacent about it, then do what I'm doing and lose the weight. If you want to get a little bit better with something, if you want to become a better conversationalist, etc., do what you've got to do to become that person. Don't just sit around and say, well, someday some woman's going to come and she's going to accept me exactly the way I am. Stop living in a fairy tale. Do something right about it instead of working even harder, trying to rationalize it to your own psyche. It's a lot easier and certainly less complicated, as is the theme of this show, to just go out and make change.
Sure. I mean, that's the thing, is that change takes – it takes courage, and there's always fear with that. You know, there's a difference between being fearless and having courage. Courage is acting in spite of fear, and that's a very admired quality if you can actually take some action and try to solve a problem that you're scared of. There's nothing wrong with being afraid. Heck, I even told my subscribers one time, if you see a really, really pretty woman in a place, like I always tell people to walk to the hottest person in the place and go talk to them first. It just makes sense. Don't start from the bottom up, start from the top down. But if you see a really, really beautiful woman and you really don't know what to say, but she's just hot, who's to say you can't walk up to her and say, hey, I'm kind of terrified to do this right now because you're absolutely stunning, but I feel like that if I didn't come introduce myself because you seem like you'd be a cool person, that I'd be shooting myself in the foot. My name's Brad. If she's a cool woman, she is going to help you out. And it might not be that you get the woman, but everybody else sees you talking to the hot woman.
And maybe you weren't perfect in your delivery, but, you know, you're darn Skippy pretty sure she's not going to roll all over you, or else she's not worth it anyway. And
Second,
you're going to feel a lot better about yourself regardless of what happens, that you nutted up and went and talked to her rather than rejecting yourself on her behalf. Definitely.
Yeah. And honesty is one of these keys that people prize above everything else. Really. Because if you can be honest about that, you know, that involves being honest with yourself. You know, just being honest and kind of coming out with it and admitting that, you know, it's kind of uncomfortable for you. People can respect that. Women can respect that. It's kind of cute. You know, I mean, people be like, oh, you know, I've heard plenty of women say he was kind of nervous around me, but it was kind of cute.
Yeah, it's not that you got over the fear. It's just you had the courage to confront it like you talked about.
Okay. All right. So let's tie all this together really quickly. Number one is, if you have certain things in your head that you feel like are causing you not to be able to be better with women, look at it and see if that's really what it is for the goal that you want. Because that's really important. Like, the goal that most guys want is far different than kind of the path that they're taking. So you have to make sure you're acting within the goal that you want. The second thing is, if you want an extreme goal, then that requires extreme behavior. If you want a kind of a normal goal, then it doesn't really require this type of extreme behavior. It requires very simple behavior. making simple changes. You know, things like, you know, addressing your fears, you know, manning up on them. I mean, everybody's afraid of stuff, so manning up on that. If you feel like you have something that you need to overcome, well, go overcome it. If you feel like you need to learn how to fight, go learn how to fight. If you feel like you need to get in better shape, go get in better shape. It's easy. Don't make excuses for yourself. Man up. See what your problems are or what you think the problems are. Don't think there's a psychological fix for it. Just go physically fix it if you can. So that's kind of the big thing for me. That's what I'm going to close on.
Gentlemen, all the way from North Kakalaka, my good friend Brad Howard. And you know what? I'd be remiss if I didn't mention to you Brad's excellent program called The Adonis Effect. Like I said, Brad has this way of helping you get in better shape, which is something that he's alluded to several times in this program because it's what's on his mind. It's what he's immersed in. So Brad can help you with that. Brad can help you get in the best shape of your life, and not only the best shape of your life, but the best shape that women are going to be attracted to. That's what the Adonis Effect is all about. And there's some good advice in there on how to get better with women in that context also. If you want to learn more about that, if you want to take the bull by the horns and finally get in the shape of your life and get to becoming a man who's physically attractive to women more so than you ever even thought possible, here's a special URL I've set up for you. www.thechickwhisperer.com/Adonis. A-D-O-N-I-S. Once again, that's thechickwhisperer.com/Adonis, A-D-O-N-I-S. And gentlemen, if you have not signed up for our newsletter yet, the best way to do that is to go to www.deservewhatyouwant.com, enter your email address, get on the newsletter. The newsletter is always packed with all sorts of original information just for you. I write actual newsletters to you guys with my own hand, original material, and it's good stuff. And you'll be able to grab your copy of a special report I have called Get the First Date and the Second Date, which will help you not only get to the place where you're having a first meeting with a woman, but help you ace that first meeting so that she wants to see you again and again as long as you would like to be seeing her also. So once again, www.deservewhatyouwant.com is where it all is. And that's about all I got today. Brad, thanks a million for joining us. This has been a tremendous conversation, as always, my friend.
Always, man. You're the man.
Oh, you're the man. And until I see all you guys again next time for episode number 39 of the World Famous Chick Whisperer program, this is Scott McKay from San Antonio, Texas. Be good, gentlemen.
The Chick Whisperer podcast is copyright 2009 by XY Communications. All rights reserved worldwide. Be sure to sign up for the XY Communications newsletter at www.thechickwhisperer.com. This is Ed Roy Odom speaking for the Chick Whisperer podcast.